right. Thank you. All right. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts 16. Thank you very much. Thank you. Acts 16 in your Bibles. All right. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. So enthusiastic at 9:30 in the morning. Appreciate that. All right. Acts 16. Let's get into it. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? The fact that we can have it and read it and preach it, what a privilege. Acts chapter number 16. Thank you for that song. It was wonderful, and I'm just glad to be here. Acts chapter 16, we're going to read a story that we sing about, and a very familiar story in the Bible. I hope to draw some truths out, maybe that can be a help and a blessing to us this morning. Acts 16, verse number 23, the Bible says this, referring to Paul and Silas, the Bible says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas." This hardened man, this jailer who had seen the worst of the worst, who had kept them in prison, in the inner prison. I want you to think about how hard of a man this could have been and probably was. The type of people he was exposed to and the type of language that he heard and the criminals that he was charged to guard often. Look at what he did in verse 29. He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and he said, "Sirs," I wonder if he had ever said that to a prisoner before. I wonder if he had ever looked at a criminal, somebody thrown into jail who had just been beaten, who had received the stripes, who was in stocks. I wonder if he had ever looked at somebody like that before and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" We'll pray and then we'll get into this lesson, this sermon. I've titled it Earth-Shaking Religion. Earth-Shaking Religion. Father, I pray now that you would give us your mind as we preach. And Lord, be with me. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, help the Bible to come alive this morning. Do a work that only you can do, Lord. Speak to the heart while I speak to the ear. Help this message to make a difference. And oh God, I pray that you would give us earth-shaking jailhouse religion in this college. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently we had an election, and regardless of what you thought about the election, the outcome, I know some were happy and some were upset, and personally I was very happy. I feel like the Lord answered prayer, and I feel like he's given us a space to get some work done, to have some freedom to get some work done for his cause. Amen. But as I was pondering the results of the election on Wednesday, and I was reading some news, I started to see reports coming in that France had sent word to President Trump, and Germany had spoken out, and Russia had spoken out, and you started to see things happen all over our country, and the world really reacting to the news that America had elected a new president. And that election was felt. And the results of that election, regardless if you agree or don't agree, the results of the election on Tuesday night, they were felt around the world. And I was happy about it, honestly. I was personally happy. that we have the president that we have. That being said, I was convicted with this thought. It's sad to me that the world feels our politics. It's sad to me that the world reacts and it's felt our politics. But what about our religion? And what about our preaching? And more importantly, what about our praying? And it's fine that we have a new president, and it's fine that the world sees and reacts, but as Christians, I don't know about you, but Paul and Silas had something here, and it is the New Testament, and they had an earth-shaking religion. They had a power. There was something there that was felt, and I want that. Amen. And God give us an earth-shaking religion, a jailhouse religion. Paul and Silas found themselves in Acts 16 in an impossible situation. Thrown into jail and thrust into the inner part of the prison, and they're there and they're beaten, and a jailer, their own personal jailer, was charged to guard them and to make sure that they couldn't escape. And they were in an impossible situation. They were in a situation where if they were going to get out, God had to do it. I've been in situations in my life where what I needed had to come from God. And man could not help me, and it had to be God. And let me just testify, college, that the Lord's been faithful. And they were in a situation like that. Of course, Paul and Silas were delivered. God did what only he could do. He sent an earthquake that was felt. And it freed the prisoners. And all I can say to you this morning is that's what I want in my life. I just want to know that I serve a God who can shake the earth. That's what I want. I want to give you some background to this story because really we'll get into the story. I'll draw some points out. But it's interesting to me. The story behind the story is what's interesting to me. Often we preach and sing about Paul and Silas, the Philippian jailer, but I marvel at why they were put in jail. To me, it's just as good of a story as the story of them being freed. Take your Bibles and turn. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 16. This is why they were thrown into prison. And it's neat. Verse 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel..." So I need a certain damsel. I've searched high and low for volunteers. Rachel, come on up here. She's going to be a young lady. A certain damsel. Rachel, why don't you take this and just stay with me. "A certain damsel," where are we at here? "Possessed with the spirit of divination." So demon possessed. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. The Lord put you on my heart last night. No, but "a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us." This is, of course, Luke speaking, and he's in the company with Paul and Silas. And this demon-possessed damsel, this young lady, cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." This is marvelous to me. I love this story. I love playing it out in my mind and thinking about it. Here's Paul and Silas, and they're preaching along. And they would go from city to city, and they would often go to the populated areas of the town, the marketplace, the town square. And at this time, they were in prayer, and no doubt they had been preaching. And they would preach, and at this time it was different because they were being followed by a young lady. And this is a young lady that everybody knew. I mean, this was a young lady who was demon-possessed. That's what the Bible says. And everybody knew her. She had a spirit of divination. I've looked that up, and some people say that maybe she was able to tell the future. I don't know. I don't know if that's possible or not. But regardless, she had a demon inside of her, and she was known. Everybody knew who she was. And as Paul and Silas begin to pray and begin to preach, this young lady would follow them. And when they would say things like, "Jesus is Lord," she would say, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Go ahead and say it. "These men are the servants."
"These men are the servants of the Most High God."
Okay, but you have to be demon possessed. All right? So when I think of demons, all right, I think of like a deep voice. You have to be angry. How would she say it? "These men are the servants of the Most High God." Go ahead and say it like that.
"These men are the servants of the Most High God."
Hey. Guys, drama queen right here. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what they would do. And by the way, she would follow them. That's what the Bible says. She would follow them. Look in verse number 17. The same followed Paul and us. So they would go and maybe they would pray, or they would go and they would preach, and they would say, Jesus is Lord.
These are the servants of the Most High God.
Get the Bible right. These men are the servants of the Most High God. All right? Jesus is Lord.
These men are the servants of the Most High God.
And then they would go someplace else. And they would get someplace else, and she would follow. Jesus is Lord.
These men are the servants of the Most High God.
And here's what blows me. By the way, people were listening. Wouldn't you listen? I mean, this wasn't just some preacher now. Now we have a demon possessed. And they would try to get away. In my mind, I'm playing it out. And maybe they would go to another part of the city, and they would preach, hey, everybody listen. We have a message. Jesus is Lord.
These men are the servants of the Most High God.
And here's what blows me away. This happened for many days. I mean, I don't know. At what point, Paul and Silas, at what point do you get tired of this? This happened. I mean, hey, the first time it happened to me, I would say, get out of here. You know, I mean, I would go on to another city. The Lord would lead me. But this happened. The Bible says, look at it. It's right there. Verse number 18. And this did she, look at it, many days. So at some point, Paul gets sick of this demon-possessed girl following him around, and he casts the devil out of her. Go ahead and be seated, Rachel. I appreciate it. Let's give her a big hand. He cast the devil out of her after many days, figuring she probably wasn't going to, she's a stalker, all right, not gonna leave him alone. So he looks at the devil, he says, get out of here, and the devil flees. And here's what landed them in jail. Her masters. See, the world had treated her kind of like a sideshow, like a carnival act. And they had made money off of her. And the Bible says that when her masters saw that they had lost their gain, let's look at exactly what it says in verse number 19. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. Her masters got upset that now this girl who was bound, who was possessed by the devil, now she was free, and where they probably should have been happy about it, now they're upset because they can't make any more money off of her. And I have a couple of thoughts there, not really the message, but thought number one, never forget that the world doesn't love you. Never forget that, young people. They should have been happy. They should have been thrilled that now that which was bound is now free. But they were only in it for what she could give them. Kind of like the prodigal. Once the money was gone, once the party was over, he looked around and there were no friends to be found. The world doesn't love you. I have a second thought that I want to just kind of pull out. The second thought is this. Not everyone's going to be happy when you do what is right. Think about it. Just use your brains this morning. I know it's early morning, but Paul and Silas did what was right. I mean, they did the right thing. They did the decent thing. Here was a girl who was bound. This girl had a mother and probably a family that was upset in her condition. And here they cast the devil out of her. And not everybody was happy when they did right. And young people, listen to me. Not everybody's going to be happy when you do right. I mean, when you step up and speak out for the Lord, when you do it with your friends or in your dorm room or at your job, not everybody's going to be happy about that. You might as well just get used to the fact that when we do what is biblical, when we do what is right, there are going to be some people that are upset about it. And they were upset at Paul and Silas. Matter of fact, they beat them and threw them into prison for doing right. Not everybody was happy. Paul and Silas get beaten, thrown into prison for doing right, and their jailer's given a charge. This is another, and I have to hurry for time, but this is another part of this story that confused me for a long time. You ever stop and wonder? So the earthquake comes, and the prisoners escape, and as soon as the jailer sees it, he pulls out his sword, he's going to kill himself. That always kind of threw me. Like, man, he seems so quick. You know, like I'm just going to end it right now. And why would he do that? And I've asked people, why? Why would he pull out his sword and just so quickly go to end his life? And the answer I always received was this. Well, because he was given the charge to keep them, and if they were freed, he would be killed. That's all. How many of you have heard something like that? So he was just going to end his life, but it still didn't make sense to me. In my mind, it's like, man, you know, let this thing play out, you know. Explain yourself. Surely there's somebody you can go to and say, sirs, I did my best. I put him in the inner prison, and I put him in stocks, and look around, there was an earthquake. I mean, that is out of my control. But this guy was just so quick to fall on his own sword. And then I was studying, and it was explained to me this way. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received, look at this, such a charge. And I was studying, and I found that at this time, it was a practice, not necessarily a common practice, but it's very possible that this jailer was given a charge, and the reason he was so quick to fall on his sword was because the charge was given that if these men go free, not only will you suffer death, but you will suffer a fate worse than death. That's why he was so quick to fall on his sword. It was not an uncommon practice for the government to take a dead body and to fix it to the living body of the jailer. And everywhere that jailer went, he would be a dead body would go with him. And I want you to think about that. It was a fate worse than death, having received such a charge. Now, we don't know that that's the case, but possibly that was the case. It happened before. It was a practice in this time. He was given a charge to keep, and these were special prisoners, and you better not let them free. And if you do, jailer, Philippian jailer, hey, here's such a charge. It's going to be pretty bad for you. And I think he knew what that meant. Having a body, somebody who had just recently died, be fixed to your own body. And everywhere you went, when you laid down at night, you laid down with a dead body. I mean, everything, when you took your food and you put it to your mouth, could you imagine how nasty that would be? They did this back in this time, and you would eat with a dead body. And as that dead body rotted and decomposed, and soon the infection would set into your body, and death would bring death, and you would die a slow death, a fate worse than death. And that kind of makes sense to me now, how when this jailer went and he saw that the prisoners were gone, he said, man, there's no way I'm living through that. And he pulls out his sword and he's getting ready to fall. And then he hears, hey, do yourself no harm. And he turns and he sees Paul and Silas and this hard case, this man who had seen it all and heard it all and been exposed to it all. He begins to tremble. And Paul and Silas's religion is so felt, not only through the earthquake, but in their own personal testimony, that he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Earth-shaking religion, jailhouse religion, a religion where God does what only he can do. A religion that cannot be manufactured, but it's manifested by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. Let me tell you something, young people. Preachers are a dime a dozen, and the ministry, there's many people who are in and out of the ministry, but what we don't have are men and young men, ministers of God, who have jailhouse religion and earth-shaking religion. Religion where the hard cases are run, where the power of God is felt. Now, I want to give you some things that I see in this earth-shaking religion. I just want to give you some thoughts. Number one, I want you to see verse number 25. And the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Number one, if you want to have earth-shaking religion, number one, I believe there needs to be prayer at midnight. Prayer at midnight. Hey, they prayed when others slept. What made Paul and Silas different? What set them apart? What gave them this earth-shaking religion, this power of God that others did not have? There was prayer at midnight. And listen, you can learn to preach, and you can polish up your sermons, and you can be smart, and you can be a techie, technological person, and you can be Mr. Organization, and that's all well and good, and God can use those gifts, but if you're ever going to have the power of God, Hiles Anderson College, there's going to have to be some prayer at midnight. Prayer when other people are sleeping. Hey, have you ever wanted something so bad that you would pray at an inconvenient time, when you would rather be doing something else, but you wanted it so bad. Have you ever been so passionate through desire? A man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Have you ever had a desire? Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever wanted it so bad that you were willing to pray at midnight? Prayer at midnight. Prayer, nothing else mattered. While others are sleeping and playing, I'm going to be praying. Casual prayer, listen to me. Casual prayer won't bring earth-shaking religion. Casual prayer, Lord bless this food and bless our veterans and give us a good service. Listen, that's all well and good, but that doesn't bring earth-shaking religion. It'll be prayer at midnight, prayer in the midnight hour. I believe this about prayer. I can't necessarily prove it in Scripture, but I do believe this. As you read your Bible, there's something significant about praying for an hour. There's just something there. And in my own life, can I just testify for a moment and say to you, in my own life, I have learned that there's something different. It's almost like after an hour, you enter into the supernatural. Now, I can't prove that, and I wouldn't go to bat on that, but I'm just giving you a personal testimony. There are times and seasons in my life where after 10 minutes of praying for the church and after a few more minutes of praying for my family and then going through and praying for the missionaries and praying for the youth group, there are times when I go to God in prayer and after 45 minutes it's not enough and there's a groaning and there's a desire to have the hand of God and to see the power of God and it's that prayer at midnight. It's that hour long after an hour when it becomes inconvenient. Hey, God tends to show up in the midnight hour. When was the last time? And I know, listen, students, I was there. I know that you're tired and I know that you have a lot on your mind, but we're in this thing for earth-shaking religion and there needs to be some prayer at midnight. And we'll knock doors for hours and we'll study for hours and we'll be on our phones for hours, but we're losing the power of God. And the world sees our politics and they hear about our president, but what about our God? Do they feel our God? Is there prayer at midnight in your life? Oh, I used to sit here at college and my heart used to burn when I would hear the stories of Kevin Wynn going out and walking around the tree and praying into the midnight hour. And I would say, oh God, I want that. And it's not going to come, no matter how funny you are, or how witty you are, or how gifted you are. You don't get that without prayer at midnight. John Knox was a missionary to India, and he was a man of prayer. And when he died, read his biography. It's challenging. When he died, they took an autopsy of his body, and they say that there was a cavity. His chest had formed a second cavity, because when he prayed, his heart would beat back and forth. That's what his biography says. Where is that prayer? Where is that spirit of desire that says, I want it. I want it more than I want anything else. I want earth-shaking religion, jailhouse religion. I want a religion that can be felt. A religion where the hard cases are won. It comes through prayer at midnight. Ford Porter prayed that God would give him a worldwide ministry. And he never did. And then one day, the story is it was 5 degrees below zero. And he made his way up to the chimney, up to the attic of his house, and it was almost as cold inside as it was outside. And Ford Porter got on his knees. He put a pillow down. And he got on his knees, and he got close to the warm bricks of the chimney. And he began to pray, and he said, I'm going to pray every single day that God will give me a worldwide ministry. And it wasn't many years later that he got the idea, no doubt from the Holy Ghost himself, to write a tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. While Ford Porter maybe wasn't the most famous preacher in the world, he put together that simple plan of salvation that has been distributed worldwide. And listen to me, God answered his prayer, because there was prayer at an inconvenient time. Prayer at midnight. Prayer when it's cold. Prayer when you're tired. Secondly, and I have to move on, I see this in the story. Not only was there prayer at midnight, but they praised in bad circumstances. Do you see that? The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and look at it, sang praises unto God. Now, in case you haven't noticed, they are not in the best of circumstances right now. They've just been beaten. They've been thrown into jail for doing what was right. I mean, their back is laid open. They're marched down into the inner prison, into the dirty, the dungy part. I mean, listen, these are not conditions conducive for praising God. All right, they weren't on the mountaintop. They were in the valley, and there they are. They're marched down there, and they're put in stocks and forced on their knees. And what are you going to do when the circumstances are bad? Let me tell you what most of us do. I'm going to tell you what most of us do. We complain. Well, the Lord must not be in this thing. Well, I thought I was, you know, coming to Hiles Anderson College. I thought it was the will of God, but I've lost my job, and my girlfriend broke up with me, and I just don't know. I mean, the circumstances, God's not opening the doors. And listen, if we're ever going to have earth-shaking religion, we need some mature Christians who understand that you praise God even in the bad circumstances. The Bible says they were singing, and I like to believe that God had gifted them like he had gifted me without a singing voice. I think it was not a joyful noise, and that was it. I mean, they were beaten, their voices were probably hoarse, and all of a sudden you hear, "Amazing Grace," probably as off tune as that. But it's not how well you sing, it's the fact that they were praising God in bad circumstances. Let me go on and move on. They were bold for Christ. Earth-shaking religion comes from people who are bold for Christ. Look what the Bible says in verse 25. They sang praises unto God, and look at it, and the prisoners heard them. So this religion that they had, it was a religion that was heard. Think about it. I mean, the prisoners heard these praises to God. I mean, it wasn't just a mumble under your breath, you know. I mean, it wasn't that. The Bible says the prisoners heard them. Now, I want you to stop and just think, who was in that inner prison with them? The worst of the worst. The Philippian jailer. What do you think was being said by these men at the midnight hour when they were trying to sleep? What do you think was being said when they began to hear, you know, Amazing Grace and these men singing praises to God? There's no doubt in my mind, no doubt at all, that Paul and Silas began to hear, "Hey, be quiet! Hey, somebody shut them up! Hey, we're going to get a hold of you! I'm trying to sleep!" And hey, they just kept on praising God. They just kept on singing praises to God. And they were bold about it. They weren't trying to hide it. It seems like in not modern day religion, our religion is covert. We're undercover. I mean, as Christians, we could work for the CIA. We could go in undercover trying to infiltrate the world, our music, our dress, all of it, not willing to step up and stand out and be bold for Christ, not willing to be identified. And you can have that if you want it. I want jailhouse religion. I want a religion that shakes the earth, a religion that can be felt, and it comes through boldness. They were bold for Christ. The prisoners heard them. Moving along quickly, I want you to look at the end result. Verse number 26. The Bible says, and suddenly, say that word with me on three. One, two, three. Suddenly, say it again. Suddenly. In other words, at just the right time, God came through. The prison was shaken. The doors were open. Man, I see this and I just think so many things. Verse 26, the foundations of the prison were shaken. I'd like to see the foundations shaken as a result of God doing what only He can do. The doors were opened. There are many people that I know, and I'd like to see God open some doors. Listen, look at this. The bands were loosed. Everyone's bands were loosed. And yes, physically their bands were loosed, but spiritually, even this Philippian jailer who was hard, his bands were eventually loosed because of this jailhouse religion. This religion that could be felt. Came through suddenly. Don't give up. Don't quit praising God even when it's tough. Don't quit praying at the midnight hour. You say, "I haven't received an answer yet." Hey, your answer will come suddenly. It will come at just the right time. I stop and think to myself, you know, it certainly wasn't a convenient time If I were Paul and Silas, I would want the thing to happen right away, like right now. But they had to sing for a while. They had to pray for a while. Maybe the jailer needed to watch their Christianity. Maybe the songs needed to be heard for a while. And maybe you're going through something right now, and you ask yourself, when is God going to come through? And I'm right with God, and I need Him to do what only He can do. Maybe others need to see you live it for a while. Maybe that's what's happening. Earth-shaking religion. A religion where the foundations are shaken and the bands are loosed. Listen to me, Hiles Anderson College. It'll come through prayer at midnight. Prayer at an inconvenient time. It'll come when you praise God, even when the circumstances are not good, even in bad circumstances. It'll come when we have some young people and some preachers who are willing to be bold again for Christ. And then see it. See that hardened man trembling. See him shaking. Hear his voice. He was about to end his own life. Hey, his case was pretty rough. And he had seen earth-shaking religion on display. He had seen it in the lives of Paul and Silas. He had felt the power of God himself as the prison foundations were shaken. And he says, the result is always the same. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. On your bus route, in your youth group, in your own family, hey, it's going to take some earth-shaking religion, some jailhouse religion to win some of the hard cases. Do we have that at Hiles Anderson College? Do we have young men, especially young ladies too, but we do we have young men that will pray at the midnight hour, that'll be bold for Christ, that'll praise God, hey, even when it looks like the circumstances are bad, you're going to praise God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please? God, give us jailhouse, earth-shaking religion.